Don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Cryptoconomy Quick Read. What is up, crew? Welcome back to the Cryptoconomy Podcast. I've got a quick read today. This will be another one from the Lightning Labs blog. That's on blog.lightning.engineering. It's another one by Brian Vu, who did the ones, I think I've done two on this one. I believe it was A Day in the Life of Carol, Lightning User Experience that I did some time back, and I'll link to that one. And then Exploring Lightning Network Routing. Both of those are by Brian. And so is the one today. And today's is titled Neutrino, the Lighter Side of Lightning. So in a couple of articles we've done not too far back, we talked about a lot of the different technology coming to Bitcoin soon. And Neutrino has been one of those. I talked about it a little bit in my Dandelion article as well, because it adds a lot to the privacy and lightens up light clients a little bit, has them basically a slightly more secure means of requesting data and validating data for light clients. So we will, without further ado, we're just going to go ahead and jump into this, and I'll talk about it a little bit afterward. Again, this is by Brian Vu, and it's titled Neutrino, the Lighter Side of Lightning. Our previous two posts in this series have been about Carol, a future Lightning user. For this post, we'll be traveling back to the present, where Alice lives with substandard mobile Bitcoin apps. In Alice's world, smartphones have been the predominant global computing platform for years, but the current generation of Bitcoin apps leave a lot to be desired. The options she's tried have had major flaws in security, privacy, and/or ease of use. Several of today's top mobile Bitcoin wallets are built on centralized services that present significant security risks. As a wise man said more than once, not your keys, not your Bitcoin. Centralized services also risk exposure of users' financial information, for instance, transaction histories. On the other hand, centralized services are faster, easier to use, and work for new users with small amounts of Bitcoin. As a long-time experienced Bitcoiner, Alice has quite a few friends who have lost money with centralized services, so she decides to continue on her quest for a wallet that gives her full control of her Bitcoins. The other existing option for users like Alice is wallets based on Simplified Payment Verification, or BIP-37. SPV wallets don't have the centralized security risks noted above, but they suffer from privacy problems of their own. In addition, the current generation of SPV wallets tends to be slower and more difficult to use than their centralized counterparts. Alice doesn't like sluggish apps, and she values her financial privacy, so she hasn't been satisfied with these wallets either. Incredibly, it's now been 6 years since the last improvement proposal directed at mobile platforms was created. Despite Bitcoin's exponential growth in adoption and the ever-increasing ubiquity of mobile devices. To address the various issues described above, Lightning Labs, Olawalua Asuntikan, Roast Beef, and Alex Axelrod, along with Jim Posen, formerly of Coinbase, proposed the Neutrino Protocol, BIP-157 and BIP-158. Neutrino Benefits. The challenge for decentralized mobile Bitcoin apps is to take Bitcoin's global transaction history, currently approximately 200 gigabytes, and quickly extract only the transactions relevant to an individual user. In addition, a successful mobile app must provide security, privacy, and a high-quality user experience. The Neutrino protocol was designed to facilitate this on devices with low power processors, limited storage, limited bandwidth, intermittent power, and erratic connectivity. Security. As mentioned above, due to the well-known pitfalls of centralized services, experienced users like Alice, or those with larger amounts of Bitcoin, generally prefer to maintain control of their own keys. Neutrino is designed to make apps with user-controlled keys faster, easier to use, and hopefully more compelling. In addition, Neutrino includes new safeguards for resolving conflicting transaction information, which is particularly useful for Lightning users. Privacy. A key requirement for financial software should be to protect user privacy. Account balances and transaction history shouldn't be revealed without the consent of the user. SPV or BIP37 clients leak quite a lot of user information, including a probabilistic list of the user's addresses, which can be used to derive an approximate transaction history. Centralized services have full access to this data and provide no guarantees of privacy either. Neutrino is a much improved option for mobile users who don't want to expose their financial history to third parties. Scalability and decentralization. The Neutrino protocol requires less computation on the part of Bitcoin full nodes, because filters sent to Neutrino clients must be computed only once for all Neutrino users. Under the older SPV BIP37 protocol, full nodes compute different results for each client user, which can be a significant computational burden if a full node is serving many mobile clients. Censorship resistance. Because Neutrino users can control their own keys and broadcast their own transactions, we hope Neutrino-based apps will enhance the permissionless and censorship-resistant properties of Bitcoin. Tech details. How Neutrino works. For more technically inclined readers, the following section gives an overview of the Neutrino protocol. For even more detailed information, please see BIP-157 and BIP-158. Links. GCS filters. At the high level, Neutrino is based on a chain of filters that each correspond to a block in the Bitcoin blockchain. These filters use Gollum-Rice coding to represent the addresses contained in a block. Neutrino filters, called GCS filters for Gollum-coded set, are a much more compressed way of representing a block and are roughly 15 kilobytes each, whereas the source blocks can be over 250 times as large, up to 4 megabytes. This compression allows low bandwidth devices to observe the blockchain and determine if newly mined blocks are relevant to the user's wallet. The steps involved in this process are as follows. There are graphics to go along with each of these steps, but I think the steps kind of explain themselves. So if you kind of want to get a visual representation that's color-coded and shows size between the block and the filters and stuff like that, definitely go to the actual post and check out this whole process, because it does, the visualizations do a good job of making it easy to tell what's going on without having to read it. But for right now, I'm just going to read the steps because I think they explain the process pretty thoroughly. Step 1. Filter creation. As each new block is mined, full nodes calculate the corresponding GCS filters. These filters are then served to Neutrino-like clients. Step 2. Observe and compare filters. Approximately every 10 minutes, Neutrino clients receive a filter, which they then compare against the user's wallet to determine if there are any new transactions that are relevant to the user. Step 3. Download relevant blocks. If a filter indicates that a block does contain relevant transactions, the Neutrino client will request the stripped block, which contains all of the transaction data in the block but excludes signatures or, quote, witness data. With the block downloaded, the client can scan the block for the relevant transactions. Step 4. Apply to wallet balance. Wallet balances are updated with the new transaction information, and the Neutrino client is now up to date. Note that with this approach, information that directly identifies a user's addresses is never sent over the network, and the matching between the blockchain and the user's wallet is done by the user's software rather than by an untrusted remote node, as in the case with BIP37. Syncing. The way neutrino nodes process new blocks is described above, but when Alice opens her neutrino-based app for the first time, her app must sync up to the current state of the blockchain. An abbreviated version of this process also takes place when a neutrino node has been offline and needs to, quote, catch up. There are four steps to sync a neutrino node. First, like a regular Bitcoin client or BIP37 client, a neutrino client will download and validate the chain of block headers, which is used to determine the position of each block in the blockchain, or i.e. the block height, and verify proof of work. Each header is 80 bytes, adding up to roughly 40 megabytes for the current Bitcoin blockchain. Second, a neutrino client will concurrently download a chain of, quote, filter headers that corresponds to the chain of block headers described above. In the Neutrino protocol, each block in the blockchain has an associated GCS filter. The chain of filter headers gives Neutrino clients a lightweight way to associate each GCS filter with its corresponding block. This process is detailed in BIP 157. Each filter header is 32 bytes, and the total amount of bandwidth required for filter headers is around 20 megabytes. Headers from blocks prior to the wallet's creation date are discarded once validated so that on-disk storage is minimal. Headers are downloaded and verified one time each. The third step is the download of the GCS filter for each block, starting from when the wallet is created. Total ongoing bandwidth for filters is about 70 megabytes per month, and filters need not be stored. Finally, the Neutrino node will check the filters to determine if there are transactions relevant to the user's wallet, and if so, the stripped blocks will be downloaded and transactions extracted, as described above. For a new wallet, the initial syncing process takes just a few minutes on a typical mobile device. The total amount of blockchain data stored by a Neutrino node is approximately tens of megabytes, compared to about 200 gigabytes currently for a Bitcoin full node. After the initial synchronization, bandwidth requirements are also quite low for typical Neutrino clients due to GCS compression. Note that while Neutrino nodes require less bandwidth than full nodes, the Neutrino protocol may require more bandwidth than BIP37/SPV in most cases. The required bandwidth is still well within the capabilities of the vast majority of mobile devices, and we believe the privacy and security benefits are well worth the trade-off. In addition, Neutrino was designed with batching and parallelism for filter and block data in mind, so even though it requires more bandwidth, the user experience for Neutrino users will generally be snappier and more responsive. Further developments. Performance. As mentioned above, the Neutrino protocol is designed to work on resource-constrained devices with intermittent connectivity and power. Note, however, that the current early-stage Neutrino implementation in L&D hasn't yet been fully optimized. Further work in this area is ongoing. Block retrieval. Neutrino clients can download blocks or filters from any source, including sources outside the Bitcoin peer-to-peer network. An option to be explored for block retrieval that would further improve privacy is private information retrieval. Currently, Tor is a more feasible option, with new circuits created for each block fetched. Neutrino serving Neutrino. Because the filters used in Neutrino are the same for all nodes, unlike the filters used in BIP37, Neutrino nodes can be configured to serve filters to other Neutrino nodes. This could enable Neutrino clients to contribute to the network as well, possibly reducing costs for full node operators. Filter commitments. With a soft fork, the hash for each block's GCS filter could be added directly to Bitcoin block headers by miners, eliminating the need for the filter header chain, and eliminating adversarial cases where a full node could attempt to send an incorrect filter to a Neutrino client. Filters could also be used by other applications that need to quickly scan or search the blockchain. Developer tools. We are working on additional APIs and a daemon mode that will allow developers to use Neutrino nodes for general blockchain data queries. Conclusion. We're excited to have released the first implementation of BIP 157 and 158 compliant Neutrino clients in LND 0.5 and in the Lightning App Alpha. While these initial releases are for testnet, mainnet Neutrino is in progress as well. Note also that Neutrino serving support has been added to BTCD and support for BIP 158 has been merged into BitcoinD, Bitcoin Core. In the longer term, we hope to see Neutrino supported by many more node operators and Bitcoin wallet developers so that users can enjoy a better user experience while preserving privacy and mitigating security risks. We believe Neutrino will provide a much improved foundation for the next generation of mobile wallets that will allow Alice to finally succeed in her quest. And there you have it. That was our piece by Brian Vu on blog.lightning.engineering. It's the Lightning Labs blog. If you are not following them or have not checked out, the blog in particular, there's a lot of things. They keep up with announcements for new clients and stuff, and they've got a really cool overview just showing the Lightning app, which I think... it's a desktop app, so I think you can download. It's still in alpha, it sounds like. But it's a really, really clean, simple interface. I really like it, and I think they're making tons and tons of progress on this stuff all the time. So you got to follow these guys. You got to keep up with it. LND is one of the three major clients that are just running at the speed of light as far as like Lightning development goes. These are absolutely critical to follow if you're keeping up with anything going on in the Lightning and Bitcoin space in general. Neutrino is a huge improvement. I've been really excited about this one. I know we've talked about it a number of different times on the podcast, but this kind of does a really good job of summing up and explaining everything that's going on behind the scenes in the Neutrino client. This is kind of one of the... It's kind of like a pseudo proof system that was proposed by Satoshi early on, talking about how there could be proofs included in blocks or in full nodes that made it easy to ensure that information was valid and not being modified. And there is... Clearly, there is still, you can be fed an incorrect filter, so there's still degrees of trust in this, and none of this is perfect, but we've seen again and again that the proof that Satoshi thought was going to be the default is, some people are saying that it might even be impossible, even though there's been ongoing work trying to find one. But I think this is a great kind of middle of the road, particularly as an improvement over SPV, because you lose so much privacy in requesting specific data from nodes out on the network. It makes network analysis and blockchain analysis really easy for an attacker or somebody trying to uncover your financial history and details, or at least a lot easier than alternatives. So this is a huge improvement. I'm really excited about Neutrino and see this coming to fruition. I know I think the Samurai Wallet guys have been talking about they're making a lot of moves in this way towards having Neutrino implemented. So it'll be important to keep an eye on which developers and wallets prioritize this and get this out quickly, because I think it will kind of show who's serious about privacy and whether or not some of these developers and companies are grandstanding about this. There's so many things where promises are made and virtue signaling kind of is done, but then nothing ever actually happens with it. So don't get Don't let the people who are doing the really hard work and the serious things that will make a huge difference across the entire implementation of the Bitcoin network and system far better and more private and more secure than it was before. And I really hope Neutrino gets adopted in a major way by the bulk of like clients. And if it is that successful and widespread, it would be really, really cool to see it as a soft fork. I don't know if it would be available because it's, I did not actually know that it downloaded the stripped block. So it's still limited to the 1 megabyte block size for the information it downloads, because it, you know, it doesn't need the signature data, just as long as it can verify the address is, I mean, you're looking for your own address, so you know that it's yours. So I don't know how the soft fork would work. I assume that it would be included in the like witness data, maybe, with the, or if there's actually space in the block already that isn't being used. Cause I know there's the, they're intending to use the bytes available for, the timestamp, has a lot of essentially unused space, that was being going to be used for some other soft fork. What was that? I can't remember. But I don't know the degree, like what exactly they would do to implement a soft fork to add information connected to the block header, or if this would just be kind of a data attached to the block that's more in the witness structure. So I don't know exactly how that would work, but honestly, that would be a really, really cool thing to see. And if Neutrino proves to be as useful and beneficial as it looks like it's going to be, particularly if Lightning is continues to grow at the rate it has been, then I think that could be a soft fork that would be really, I think it'd be really beneficial to the whole ecosystem, and I'd probably get behind it pretty quick. As long as, you know, obviously there weren't any problems or it didn't appear that it had any major downsides to it that, you know, you didn't want it baked into the base protocol. But with that, I don't think we really need to go more into this. We've talked about this quite a bit now, and Lightning Labs did a great job. Great job, guys. Brian, wonderful, wonderful blog post that really hits all the main points of Neutrino for everybody who is looking to dive into it. Thank you for that. And again, do not forget to follow Brian Vu on Twitter. I will post, I will link to his Twitter page, and I'll tag him and L&D, Lightning Labs. I'll see if I can't get the whole gang in there so that you can follow all those people and keep up with their amazing work. Thank you so much for all of that, and thank you guys for listening. We will close this here. Don't forget to follow me at The Crypto Economy on Medium, Mastodon, and Twitter. You can find my Mastodon link right in my Twitter profile page, or like my Twitter description. Unfortunately, I don't know why I did this, but my Instagram is CryptoEconomyGuy, not The Crypto Economy. So everywhere but Instagram is the same. But follow me up there if you are a Insta person. I'm going to try to be posting all my episodes up there as well. I'm trying to get a really good cross-posting client and software to get all that done. And if you would like to support the show, subscribe to the show on iTunes. Leave me a review if you were liking the show. That is always a huge help. Share, retweet, give me a shout out. Anything like that is a huge help to try to bring more listeners into the show and get them exposed to all of this content from so many different writers and authors and personalities in the Bitcoin space. We got some more crypto chats lined up, interviews with some really cool people that I hope will happen soon. One of them is scheduled to go in just a couple of hours, so I'm getting ready for that. And if you would like to donate some Bitcoin, I will always have my Bitcoin donation address and available on the website at cryptoeconomy.life, or of course in the post and the show notes. I always have it somewhere tagged on the end of stuff. So if you would like to donate some Bitcoin to keep this thing running, that would be a huge, huge help. Thank you so much. And I think that's it. Don't forget, though, you can also have a affiliate link for Trezor Hardware Wallet. So if you were looking to purchase your hardware wallet and you have not done so yet, don't forget to use my affiliate link. Won't cost you a dime extra, but you will send a couple of bucks to the Crypto Economy Podcast and help out the show. All right, guys, got some really fun stuff lined up, so stick with me, and I will catch you next time. This has been the Crypto Economy Podcast. Take it easy, guys.